meeting order, right? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Thank you all for coming tonight. Appreciate it. Can I get approval of the agenda, the consent agenda, and the minutes from August 7th, 2023 regular council meeting, please?
So moved. Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Heidi, would you mind taking that off the screen for us, please?
Thank you.
What happens when you sit on the end? Thank you very much. Okay, number five, correspondence. There's a letter there from a National Night Out. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I have other stuff to read tonight. So, anyway, and more than anything, just a thank you and for all the support. And I think that we all discussed that last meeting, and I think we're all in agreement that it was a great event. So it was nice to the letter. So. Is there any additional correspondence?
No.
Okay. Items from the public. Is there anybody signed up? I missed any.
We have Kai. Huh? No, I grabbed it.
Oh, you
I did. I grabbed it already. Sorry. It's Kai.
Okay.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Did everybody get the letters? Okay. And then you have a custom for you for all that is the very question. So what is wrong? Because the county basis we have to go with the court department, but fences issue. Fences checked the LA and the city and then the contractor there. Is 1 month behind because that country is offensive down the 2 or 3 months. I do not know. For now, I'm asking for maybe you can give me 90 days trial, but it's offensive in that time. But meanwhile, I can sell them properly. But the ID is all functional, ready to go to properly. And also, if you have another one, you get the second page and third page here. I didn't business for 15 years, and I have a business degree. Open door policy is the best policy. They communicate. If it block from the property, they take the all the illegal activities. I don't have the judicial power. If my parents do the illegal things, only I can see they create. But public see something, then they behave better. So if you deal with the fences, I really strongly recommend that take second or third pages so we can mutually communicate. Customers see that, public see that, everybody is warm and cozy. My intention is not make money, I swear. If anybody do illegal activity, drop, I keep them out right away. My intention is good for the city. Hopefully, I deliver my heart.
So they understand. So you're asking us to go with
them? Well, no. I built the fences, but all the ideas can count to members, open the ID. ID is a functional, you can serve in the property. But I have a precondition to take that I have to build up the fence. I'm willing to do it, but give me 90 days trial. Now I will be put to the edit, and then I communicate that. Because all the construction is behind. If I did the fences, maybe down the November or October, late for my meeting. Now it's August. Return to the public, and I will promise, I will do my best with the fences as fast as I can, good quality as much as good. But now it's time to open the IV. If you wait in November, nobody can in, then I suffer 6 months. Hold this project way more than my overhead. 3 years budget is a city plan. Their background is more than 4 million dollars. I spent more than $600,000, more than $500,000. It's not yet make a profit. It's commitment. I will swear to the public, I will do all my heart to build up the idea. They have many different services, but I give it my talk, but they're personalized.
So if I can maybe explain it so everybody on the council understands, because some council members were not here when this began. So what Kai is looking for is he has a conditional use permit, and part of that permit requirement is that he builds a fence around the RV park prior to him getting a certificate of occupancy. So I believe what he's asking for, correct me if I'm wrong, is that he wants to be able to start his occupancy now and build the fence within 90 days. So that's what he's looking for. In other words, he's looking for the council to override the conditional use permit, allow him to start his occupancy, and then within 90 days, build the fence. So that's what he's looking for from for the council tonight. Go ahead, Tony.
Why are we looking at pictures of two different fences?
Were those your proposed type of fences that you were thinking of?
Yes, I think it's best proposal. Because I've been searching many island parks, most of places. Chesapeake County is only mandatory for the fence, not Grace Harbor, not down the Oregon. But my observation, my experiences, most of the island is open to the public. Once you're hiding from the public, the bad things going on. What architecture drawing was the fence with the cover of wood. Wood is bad because I have fences, maintenance, winter, rain, all kinds of issues. But my best experience, my best proposal is a two type of fence, either page one or page two. So tenant has some sort of privacy and the public has a confidence about what they're doing. Hopefully, open door policy is bad for police. If the customer is if the tenant is hiding from the public, they're all kind of bad. And I don't have a judicial power. I'm not police officer.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate yeah. that. But I thought the fences for the privacy of the tenants and also to keep the RV park contained from the view of the drivers and passerbys of the city.
It is partially safety. The county, in their ordinance number 5, which that references.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the gentleman that inspects for the county, he was like, "It's supposed to be a fence in their ordinance," like, but it's actually in their zoning. They require a screening fence as well, so they could either do wood or like chain link with the slats, he said. But,
okay.
But it's not actually in their ordinance. Built up by we included in our.
But with
what?
Yeah,
yeah,
the
theater
also,
though,
not
that. Well, and how many things they give up to the city council? Because if the city council, we don't need a fence, then I don't have to build up the fence. But I will obey you, I listen to you, I commit my precondition. It's all up to the hill, not the county. I have a meeting with the mayor, even I talk to the director. Decision comes from here in the council meeting. So you make a decision, and I will follow. But all I'm getting for the idea, and I will do within 9 days.
So
that's what I'm completely asking for.
That's my opinion, but I appreciate your request. Additional use permit. Additional use is really not what your parents need for that property, and I don't feel comfortable that additional use. Additional use permit says that the fence has to be built for the design. See, then I just feel like we should stay in line with the permit that he gave you. And I know it's unfortunate that builders are behind, but that's also, unfortunately, it wasn't taken care of. There's nothing that says that there's a delay, you have to do something different. So, personally, just for me as the council person, I just feel like we need to stay in line with our additional use permit because it was a special request that we created this opportunity. And secondly, I want to just point out that the fencing, in my opinion, would be something to shield the public from that space. And I understand. You know, if it's closed, that there's potential for your internal guests to do something maybe not great. but the appearance of the RV park in the roadway was a concern for all of us. We were one of our major city parks and where we grew a lot of our festivals. So having that exposed to me is not something that I think is in line with what you guys originally planned. So it just doesn't seem like a question.
Yeah, answer your question. So I set the condition. I need the condition. That's fair. If the condition is not serious, I didn't even start with this project. Now fence is up to 90-day condition. So starting the condition, ending the condition. I think it's better now than in November or December. It is because it affects the city budget too. It's my employer and custom. Starting the condition, ending the condition. That's my answer.
And I appreciate that. I think that the conditional use permit starts is already kind of a specialty thing. It's already a special request to the city. The city makes accommodation that they want to be able to do. And so that conditional use was the special permission for the RV park to be established. And the timelines that were established in that permit were thought out and obviously included in the code and included in the permit. So they were really well thought out. And that would have been the time to maybe. During that period of time, would have been a time to bring up, well, what if we can't get the fence put up, or what if there's issues with the ways of construction? That could have been added at that time. But I don't see, for me personally, and for us, I don't think that it's wise for us to adapt additional use permits, because then if we do it for you, then we do it for everybody that's after you. And I just feel like we should probably stick to the permit of the issue. I think that's unfortunate, but that's just my opinion.
I don't want to offend you. I thank you for your opinion. But my opinion is that not anybody built the IV waiver. In order to build the IV, you have a precondition. You have a capital, you have a land, or all of those things. It's not going to happen with that precondition. You know, if you give one person the preconditional, you give next person the preconditional, it's not going to get it. And I was in the council maybe 2 months ago. I pretended you did. Probably somebody's
going to
the future.
Okay, Kai, I'd like to hear from the rest of the council, okay? Yes,
Chris. I was kind of predicting this. We made it clear more than once as this even project is going through that that was a key piece of giving you the permit. So you should have planned when. You know, it's unfortunate now you're 90 days away from the fence, but that's not our problem. That's your problem. You could have put the fence in 90 days ago or 3 months ago. You could have put it, but you didn't choose to. So now you are where you're at. You're 90 days away from the fence. I could see on the landscaping piece, because now is the best time to plant plants. I could see giving some timeline on the landscaping piece, because you want to plant landscaping when it's going to live. When we get rain, you can plant the landscape. But the fence, I feel for your predicament, but it's kind of of your own making. And I agree with Jovan. I think we went to a lot of heartache to do this, and my view is that it needs to be done.
Okay.
That's the agreement we have.
Okay, any additional comments from the council? Okay,
Mayor.
Ianna, I was coming to you next.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor. I don't know, and maybe Mayor or Eric, you know, I don't think there's a mechanism to change a conditional use permit. I think it's essentially a binding contract that both parties have agreed to, and there's no going back and tweaking it. So I don't know if, I guess, is there a way to make modifications?
I think when this came up a few months ago, I believe Joel said that there is no changing of it. Like, I think maybe you could redo the process because it went to the public and there was a public hearing. So I'm not 100% sure. I believe that to be true. We have to double check if.
That's what
I agree, Eric. I was looking for reassurance. I believe that's what we have been advised before, is there isn't any going back, whether we wanted to, whether it's a fantastic idea or not. And so even thinking about the landscaping, we need to be really careful on any commitments to anything that's not written down and signed. And that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Ian. So I just want to make it really clear so there's no no confusion here, but I would like a motion from the council that we maintain the conditional use permit as it was originally written.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So I'm sorry, Kai, but the conditional use permit will remain as written. So I'm sorry. Okay, so in your packet, item number 7 is the budget calendar. It is just, it's just for your information, so you have a general idea of what's going on, what you kind of can expect for the budget season. Nothing here. Oh, sorry. I was just like, go ahead. It's actually her budget calendar, not mine. Oh, habits die hard. Oops.
These are just tentative dates. And, you know, if things get done sooner, then we can get it out sooner. But these are just dates. I kind of basically just went off of our calendar last year, moved it up a day because the days change. So just to give us enough time, I do have tentative dates for October 5th and October 12th. Last year, we didn't need to budget dates. We went through it pretty well, not quickly, but we went through it in one meeting. I think we could probably get through it quite a bit quicker this year since we know what to expect. So I did tentatively do the 12th as well, just in case, but or if those dates don't work, you guys could shoot me an email or propose another date. Those are just things that I shot out from last year for that. I know it's hunting season and things like that for everybody. So just let me know. Other than that, I am working on some things behind the scenes to get that ready for you guys.
Hard to believe it's budget season already. So.
And the budget committee is?
The council this year. It's the council work. Just like last year. Well, everybody.
Like we did last. Everybody comes.
Everybody will be here that can make it.
Oh. Okay.
And we'll provide dinner.
It's a budget workshop.
Yeah, it's a budget workshop.
It's with the budget.
Oh,
yeah,
workshop.
Itself, it's with all the
yeah.
Yeah. We're going to all work on it together, all provide our input.
Ian is having a little trouble hearing everyone, so just when you speak, make sure you speak up loud and clear, please.
So item number 8, we were asked to provide a proclamation for 2023 Hispanic Heritage Month, recognizing Hispanic Heritage Month. What's that say?
Mes de la Herencia Hispana. It just means Heritage Month.
Okay. Whereas each year, the United States observes Hispanic Heritage Month to celebrate the Hispanic heritage, cultures, and contributions of those whose ancestries are indigenous. Thank you. To North America, as well as Spain, Mexico, and the Caribbean, and Central and South America. And whereas this year's theme, Building Prosperous and Healthy Communities, calls on us to ensure that all people participate and feel welcome to build prosperous communities and a healthy nation. And whereas Hispanics make significant and diverse contributions to the culture, education, economy, economic and political vitality of the city of Raymond. And whereas Pacific County Immigration Support, PCIS, actively promote access to opportunity and a path to citizenship for a Hispanic community and will hold a September 16th Hispanic Heritage Celebration in South Bend, and now therefore be it proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Raymond, Washington, that September 15th through October 15th, 2023 is the Hispanic Heritage Month in the City of Raymond and encourages residents to participate in events that honor our unique and vibrant history as we recommit ourselves to a shared future of healthy, peaceful, safe, and sustainable communities for all. Introduced and adopted this 21st day of August 2020. Thank you. All right. Item number 9, conditional use permit applications for an auxiliary dwelling unit or an ADU. So if you would like to take that, Eric, please.
So yeah, these are two very small dwelling. This one here is 20 by 30, but it's 16 by 28, I believe. Like I said, our ADU ordinance is pretty slim. It really talks about just maintaining setbacks and some parking requirements. They do meet all those requirements. So if you have any questions, I would try to answer. I don't know what much more to that.
Is it a prefab building or is it
not built? Same building. There's a bit of an issue with prefab buildings, like tiny homes per se, which are generally under 400 square feet anyhow. Because our code kind of, what do you call those? Do you call them like a manufactured home at that point? And we don't allow single wides and stuff like that. So at this point, if they're stick built, they can build basically anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice part of that. These are nice little houses.
Any additional questions or comments? Ian? Nope. Okay.
Go ahead, Ian.
No, I was going to make a motion, but Heidi, go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure this is in line with, like, all the new state regulations.
So those have not taken effect yet. They're actually going to probably be a lot more ability to do this.
Okay.
They'll make it easier.
Okay.
If people were strict on that. Like, some places have has to be a family member or have to be a certain size or so forth. Ours is open.
So
it's not a bad thing.
This will just look at writing with that and we're
yep.
Down the road, we're okay.
If they pass some new ADU stuff, then, you know, obviously we'd have to.
Yeah.
Go over that. Just, we're pretty open at this point.
So, Ian, you were going to make a motion?
Yeah, I move that we approve. Do we need to do them separately? Sorry.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do this one first, the conditional use permit there for the ADU. Yes, please.
Yeah, so I move that we accept the conditional use for the ADU.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carried. So I get, oh, I guess there was two in there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So for Larch Street, or those are two separate ones, right?
No, I think it's only one.
Is this all one?
It's all one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was all one, Ian, so thanks.
No problem.
Okay, and ordinance number 1927, an ordinance of the City of Raymond, Washington, repealing and adding to Title 14, Water and Sewer. I was discovered that the wording in the current code conflicted with the applications that the city currently uses for low income. So this removes a whole section out of both water and sewer, and then just adds in a single line, a single bullet, D and one and F and the other, D and water, F and sewer, that just says that the requirements for discounting on your water and sewer will be determined by the office. Because that can change based on the consumer price index. Is it consumer price index?
It's a federal poverty guideline.
That's federal poverty guidelines. So it doesn't, that should not be in our code. That should be something that is done internally. So
that's just so I'm clear. Uh-huh. It isn't taking away the ability to reduce it for
no
income seniors.
No, it actually,
if somebody were to look at the stats, what they would
no receive. What it actually does is it improves the program.
Okay.
It was very restrictive before, which it was not restrictive in our code, but it was very restrictive on the application. And that's how we found out that they did not jive.
Okay.
So
I just wanted to make sure to get all of that out so that everyone is
yes,
aware.
Yes, no. What it does is it's actually going to improve the program. So I just need a motion to move this to the second reading.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, item number 11, the Island Lane Bridge Abutment Repair.
Has never been. So previously there was the 295, kind of like the planning. We had a plan and had to get some engineering and so forth, and it's deteriorated more, and so that is the increase. But it needs to be dealt with as soon as possible.
How much have you paid rent already?
Nothing. They're actually carrying a couple of hundred and some grand worth of engineering and geotech.
Right. That's what we owe them now?
Yeah, because we signed the 300, one of like 295.
I have issues with giving someone almost $600,000 bid without any competitiveness. That's a lot of money to just say, we'll just hire you guys. You've been working on it so far. That's just my opinion. I've never done business that way. And to me personally, I just, if it is going to be that much, then it needs to be rebid.
In general, yes, we would usually go out. There's probably limited people that would be capable of that, like Robin.
Probably.
I don't think we have time to go out. Like, they've been trying to legal part of it with Volt, and he was back. It's deteriorating.
It's down
every day. It's deteriorating. Like, it needs to be worse.
Like, it should have been done.
Well, we're trying to better part, and then with all the other stuff.
And it looks like that more geotechnical engineering force came in. Sometimes to show even more deterioration.
Yeah,
if we had fixed the $295,000 fix, there's no assurance that there wasn't more underlying.
Their kind of plan originally just wasn't going to work as deteriorated.
Doesn't that give you some sort of apprehension about having them continue? If the original isn't gonna work?
Well, they didn't have. You'd have to sign an agreement for them to go out and want to pay for the engineers and the geotechnical information. You know, it's kind of like generally like the government thing. You'd have a planning grant per se.
Okay, but didn't you sign something for that already?
We did the 300.
Yeah,
but that was to get the ball rolling. So
we didn't have the other stuff. So
So my question is the fix going to work?
Yeah, they'll redo the entire abutment.
So they're going to do a concrete abutment or something like that?
They have to remove the whole thing.
And are they going to have access to the island like they do?
Probably there will be some time where they're not. We'll have to talk to the people. There's not, I think the only people living out there, actually the one lady was in here, she's aware. She lives out there, but she's kind of back and forth. So they're going to try to keep it minimal.
There's only one place that's occupied?
I think there's two.
It's a lot of money to just.
Well, we're cleaning up someone else's mess, right?
Well, that's the whole, then it'll go to litigation to recoup.
It's 100%.
But we're on the hook for it.
Not going to get any better. It's only going to get more expensive. And it has to be done because the people that live over there have to have access. So
we know about the problem and we don't do anything about it.
So this is the first step, and then we take it to the next step, which then will involve Walt. So I'm not going to get into those details, but I think he pretty much understood what that looked like at the last meeting.
And if we had time, it's deteriorating monthly.
Are we going to redo both sides or one side?
The other side is fine if you look like it's the rail bed. This one's twisting.
Okay. So, we have any fingers crossed that we won't have to do the other side too? Or
yeah, that one doesn't seem to have moved at all. Like I said, that rail bed there has the whole. Yeah.
They hit some solid
stuff. So it's by where the railroad tracks. You know that ground has to move.
It's farther off the water as well.
Oh,
the other one is right on the edge.
Okay. This one is built on the small.
When it's built to like hover, like that's even for the ecology thing. It's not actually built on the ground, the piling, but there.
Yeah, that's all we do.
Yeah, works well here too.
Because things don't change around it's concerning to me to spend $600,000 on something that, yes, we may get reimbursed, yes, we may not, but I'm always in the competitive bid part.
Okay, for sure.
Doling out money because it's an emergency fix is hard for me to do.
That's
my personal opinion.
And I get it. But if we go through the competitive bid process, it will be, we wouldn't probably be ready till it'd be Christmas or after Christmas.
Yeah,
and then by then, they could not have any access.
When you lose the weather, it looks well.
So where's the money coming from currently that we're expending?
Your council wages.
Current expense?
No, not current expense.
They have that. That won't even be able to pay for one of the screws.
It's a budget, man.
We have some emergency street money, and we're just gonna have to look and see.
Yeah.
There's money there.
You
can still make it work.
Cop cars and a couple of ambulances.
We don't have
no insurance company involved.
Exactly.
Not at this point.
Appreciation.
Make a phone call tomorrow. Okay.
All right. Yeah, we can. How do we okay spending $600,000 if we don't know where it's going?
Well, we have the money in the budget. I can't tell you sitting up here exactly where it's going to come from. We have the money. We can do it. But if you want me to send you an email tomorrow and tell you exactly which fund is coming out of, I can do that.
As long as we've got the money.
I just can't tell you sitting right here. Yes, we have the funds to do it. Do I want to spend it that way? Not really.
But it hampers. For the next few years. Put
$50 down, $50 a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do I hear a motion to sign the bridge abutment repair?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I don't like it any better than you guys do. I mean, there's a lot of things I'd much rather spend that kind of money on.
But it just bugs me because it impacts every citizen's agreement.
I know.
For somebody else's mess.
That's right.
And it's just, for me, maybe it's 6 by 7, but all of our residents have to be impacted by that.
Okay, so next would be to discuss the pool memorandum of understanding. With the understanding, when I sent it out, that this was a draft and, for discussion only tonight. So it's a very rough draft. Joel wrote it based on the information I provided him. So he only did what he had to do with what I gave him. So, and Chris, you and I talked today, and I can't remember what you thought you'd like to see in number 6.
Just two things I saw, but, and I know it's just a bonus, but when we get down to the nitty gritty, the duties for the director, whatever that's going to be, we're going to have the director, the duties for him and the duties for the 501c3 need to be spelled out pretty detailed.
This here, what you're looking at right here,
yeah,
will be the duties of the pool, the 501c3.
Yeah.
The director, whoever that is, will have a contract.
Yes.
And that will be spelled out in his contract. These are your two different things.
Well,
this is the pool duties.
Yeah.
The director's duties are different.
Right.
So
I separate the two.
Yes.
The director has to have a clear,
absolutely, and you
line
will see
responsibilities.
Yes.
What he's supposed to do. 501c's got to have a clear idea of what their accountabilities are, and the two ought to know what each other's are.
And they most certainly will.
Okay.
So.
The other thing on there I would change is, and it's just a wording thing, but the capital expense issue, I would change that to major expense, because capital expenditure has some different connotations to it. And if you just said any major expense, you could couch it with some dollar amount or something like that. But I would take the capital expense out, because capital expense to me means that the owner of the facility puts capital into its facility to upgrade its facility, right?
And so, and I mean, you could put that in there. You could say ongoing capital improvement projects that exceed $5,000.
Yeah, I could just take capital out of there and just put major expense.
The hell are normal budget.
Capital is limiting.
But capital, that our budgets, we have stuff set aside that we have for capital improvement.
I understand that.
So this has got to fill in. This has got to be a part of the city's budget. We need capital projects for the pool, just like we have capital projects for the rest of the departments.
Well, okay, then here's my concern. If they're going to participate in a capital project that is ours, our asset, the capital project is going to be our upgrade, and we're asking them to participate in that capital project, then do they own half of that upgrade?
Well, did pool own half of that upgrade to the pool when it was totally redone in 2002?
I hope they didn't.
So exactly. Did they think that they owned half of it? Because in 2002, when they got all those grant funding at the tune of what, almost $1 million? Because if that's the case, then why are we spending any money? Because they should own half of that. Which I assure you they do not.
Wow.
So I think that just making it noted in here that any capital improvements to the pool, it's an understanding that any upgrades and improvements to the pool, or it could just say the pool belongs to the city of Raymond. Any improvements are improvements to the city pool.
I have a related.
Yes.
Also with that 50% match. So say the pool is looking at going out for a grant. Say they get a big one for kicks, $1 million. Then so they've got $1 million. We have to match that with $1 million. How are we going to be on that?
I would suggest they don't apply for that. You know, and I don't know of any grants that would be that kind of match. Usually maybe a 50% match, but my suggestion is that you know what the match is going to be before you apply, and you would ask the city, I'm going to apply for $1 million grant. The match is 50%. Can you provide $500,000?
Not actually what I meant, but here at number 6 it says the pool will pay half.
Right.
So say they had a very large upgrade, like building a new pool, building a new facility at some point in the future. No. And they've got this big grant to do so, but it covers part of it. And then they say, well, the city said that they would cover half. So it says here, city will pay.
Okay, everybody's hung up. I'm just trying to hold the pool's feet to the fire so that they don't let the pool deteriorate. That's what I'm trying to do. We can take the 50% out. I don't care. I'm not going to be here forever, and neither are all of you. But I'm going to tell you exactly that what is happening now will happen again if you don't have somebody or something put in place to hold the pool to the fire. So my suggestion is that you say you take out the 50%, say any capital improvements to the pool requires the city and the pool to agree what those are and how they will be funded before they're agreed upon.
Even like TIB, where we have a matching funds,
yeah,
we have to bring that to council,
right,
per se, to make sure that we can expel the money. If it was a 0% match, probably not a big deal. We can generally bring it, but not the same, because you're guaranteeing that you're going to spend the money. And even whatever they do, it still has to be in the budget. And okay, give them a free rent.
Yeah.
They still need to.
You run those into the before, and said, this is our match, the amount that we have to match for this.
Yeah.
And I will say that I will say the RCO grants that Tia and I are working on, the one it's up to 1.2 million and there's no match. So most of those park grants are no match.
But, okay, you know, that begs the question. You get a $1.2 million grant and you build yourself a new pool.
Well, you're not. We're not going to get that kind of money. But you,
I know. You see what I'm saying? Does that mean the pool?
No.
Pool owns it then, because they got the $1.2 million grant.
No, the grant would be the city's name, and we most likely.
But you, when you apply for those, you're going to tell them in advance what you're applying for and what you're going to use the money for.
Right.
So they're not applying to build a new pool. They're applying to renovate what we have. So.
Okay, so can I please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so a couple of big issues. Number one, even if it's mutual, memorandum of understanding, it is a nonprofit contract. It should be basic principles of the contract. There is no mutual satisfaction. There's no mutual consideration. They get nothing. So there is no mutual. So you have three factors. You have an agreement, two people willing to enter in the agreement. Both of them have to give something and receive something from the agreement. And then there has to be a term, an end date. There is no end date. There is no mutual consideration. My big problem with this program that I keep looking at here, and I see this as a great outline, and it's a great place to start conversation, but this is not sufficient for an asset of the age and the requirements of maintenance for the document. This doesn't do it.
Well, and I made it clear when it went out that it was not, was a working document.
So my concerns, I have a couple of cornerstone concerns. The one that I keep asking, I have not yet heard anything. I reached out to Karen and asked also, when's the last time that building was instructed, was actually inspected? When was the last time it was inspected? And what is the longevity of the building that is currently sitting?
Well, by who?
Structural engineer, pool engineer.
We just had it done by pool engineer.
One of the pool companies has been hard to get an actual company. So we actually have two, but the one came down
just last week.
Yeah. They're going to give us a price on everything. So, and it's selling is going to be cheaper than the other number we got. But the pool itself is sound. There could be some cracks in the actual pool, because the whole building itself is the pool. I mean, it's not really a structure. But those all can be repaired. That's not a big deal as far as, you know, there's no underlying, it's going to fall apart.
But I think that what we have, it's been so neglected, so overlooked. And what we're finding is that information that we have been told over the years, that it's just like I whisper something to her and it goes to here and it goes to here and it gets bigger and bigger and changes is sort of where we are right now. The pool engineer came down and said, first off, the information that you're going by is completely false. The pool is not nearly as big as you have been told it is. The heaters that you're trying to use are overkill. You do not need those big of heaters. Yeah. You know, you are working on outdated and false and contradictory information. So there's just so much of that. Tia finds it. Tia's finding it. Eric's finding it. People come down and they're just like, this is not a bad pool. It's just been poorly managed over the years. And there's things that need to be done. And these are the things we'll look at. And here are some of the things that I will provide back to you with costs.
So ultimately, and, the state that it's in is still a responsibility. It's not
right.
It's our thing.
Right. It's and it's been thrown into someone else's lap work.
Asked to be given to them, and they took it, and this is a breach of it. And so now they've operated, they agreed to do it. They spent their money, put it together, the council put it together, and brought it to the city, and the city said, sure, you want to look at it, you don't got any money from it. So I struggle with this, because I think this is, to me, you can dress the pig up all you want, you can hope to speak to the fire the people that are the bad actors, but unfortunately, the people that are the bad actors are stepping out of the way. So now you have a completely fresh pool. Secondly, if you have a fundraising physical sponsor, someone that you're going to request to be a physical, a TASU's partnership as a physical sponsor, you do not limit the funds that they raise. So putting ourselves into anything about matching funds or doing all those things, we need to be really explicitly clear of what we're willing to match and how that process will look.
But I already said I already taken that out.
Yes, you already addressed number six.
Okay, so this out, and their funds are theirs, right? So
the only thing that's not theirs is they have to contribute to the pool.
Right.
They have to contribute financially to the city running the pool.
At 40,000, which isn't going to work because after they lose having to pay for their own employment, they lose having to pay for employment of it. They lose having to pay for insurance, it appears. They lose paying legal fees. They lose all their expenses because we're assuming the full operation of the pool. So their full break-in here from last year is $67,037 fundraising dollars that they did without a team of people that has been
again.
So to me, $40,000 isn't there.
Tell me what is.
75 at least.
Okay, that's what I said.
But also,
this is not written in stone.
Right.
Send me emails. Write it yourself and send it to me. That's what I'm saying. How many times have I have to say this? This was a starting document. There was not one to be had.
Yeah.
This is a starting document. You don't like it? Rewrite it and send it to me and I'll put it in the package. I'll put it in the package and knock yourself out.
But I'm also not the city attorney. It's built for it. So there's that.
And how do you know he billed us? And furthermore, he gets paid whether he does anything or not.
Mayor, you're writing an agreement for a liability, giant liability on the city, that if someone becomes injured, if something catastrophic happens, we foot the bill for it.
And I
think that we can do a much better job as a team. And yes, you're right. I will write amendments. I will go ahead and take time and bring in those amendments. I'm also going to Oak Harbor. Personally, we'll get other similar organizations and how they operate their pool and maintenance on my own dime. So I am going to go and do the research necessary to find something. What I thought this was a discussion about this current agreement, and this current agreement needs a lot of work. And I don't think that we have to rush into making an agreement with this pool people right now, because I think, in my opinion,
they're working.
Right, but we're also discussing this. So we need to make sure that we're clear in our discussion to it. And we need to understand that if we're going to be the landlord again, if we're taking full property, then we need to act as the responsible landlord. And we need to be very explicit in the rules of how we're doing it. We have to put every little thing in here so we never have to come back and have this conversation again. My goal is that hopefully by the end of September, we can get to the end of this conversation, get this full agreement going, but have one that is permanent, at least for 5 years. But at this current state and what we're trying to do here, it doesn't make very much sense. It doesn't
I'm sorry that I put it in the packet. So we'll move on.
Devon was worried about there's nothing for the nonprofit. Wouldn't us taking on the day-to-day and ongoing maintenance, the hiring of the lifeguards, all of that, taking that off their plate, that would be a benefit to them.
At a dollar amount. So what is the dollar amount and what are we agreeing to take off? What is our
it's
a contract. Explicitly you have
but
to state
it is not a contract, it's a memorandum of understanding.
Understanding our contracts are utilized with a nonprofit.
Don't be disrespectful to Jovan.
Very directly.
Just don't be disrespectful.
I've done a lot of research on what an MOU is. I've worked for them many years, I've done many of them.
Okay, sure I get the point. The point is taken, Jovan. Your point is taken. I will let other council members talk.
Can I just one part, I'm going to be done.
Okay.
With us taking and putting a director in place, do I see less risk of the pool deteriorating and having the pool organization not do anything with that our employee in place? Because our employee in place is going to be accountable for that asset. Right.
And that's what that
and
was my hope. That is my
yes. With the 501c over here, our director's going to go, hey, people, we got to do this. We got to do that. We can't let this happen. That's why I think the separation of duties have to be spelled out pretty clearly.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm done.
It's on operating council.
Heidi, anything?
I was just going to say that. I'm not understanding of the complete dollar amount. I think that's crazy when you look at the fact that things change price wise, and that would have to be updated yearly. You can't have a 5-year contract if things change yearly. So we're going to pay the lifeguard this much. Oops, well, you know, this law kicked in this week, and now we have to pay them this much more. And that doesn't match up with the memorandum of understanding. So
You can't put in.
They're not paying the money.
We are.
I know, but you said that it has to be a dollar amount that we are reimbursing the state away from them. Well, you can't account for that on a yearly basis if the pay of like, the lawn car insurance keeps going up, or the pay of materials goes up or down.
Yes, we do plus or minus inflation rate of 5 to 7% cost. You add it. You can do that. And secondly, the $14,000 in expenses. That's just, I guess this is just for their operation, correct? The 3 months is the $14,000 in expenses.
I think the big part of that was here's the year. And it's all reimbursed at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. And so John's about 10.
Yeah.
So generally the season, they're only spending about $5,000.
They're spending about 40 on in their lifeguards. And then, yes, whatever else on top of that.
That's right. So that's my
chemicals and the beauty.
So we're taking all that back. They're not getting it. So we're writing. We're taking care of all these things. They're not getting this. They're not losing money. That's, we have to write it specific. I just think we have to be really clear that we do this really, really well, because the first one wasn't that great. This one isn't that great. And I want to make sure that we do this right, so we do it well for everybody involved. This is a huge
idea. I do have one.
Yes.
One thing that you said about the director was going to be on contract. They're not going to be on contract, though. They're going to be an employee of the city, right?
Right, but they'll have a, they'll have, I mean, a, they'll have, okay, a, so they'll have a job description.
Yes, and to me, that's very, that can be very specific, whereas contractually can be very vague, and
it'll be specific. You guys will be approving it.
That would be my only concern, is that it is a job description of exactly what we expect.
Right, and you'll be approving it, because it'll be brand new.
Okay.
I mean, I think we could, and this is, you know, just an idea, but we could, we need an end date on it. We could put it out a year, so we'll reevaluate this yearly until what happens with Dallas Running. What happened with Dallas Running?
I wouldn't expect this MOU to be any longer than a year.
Yeah, I mean, 5 years out.
It wouldn't be of my recommendation.
At this stage, having it 5 years out is, I think, a little.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
Fine. So I think you have
Tony?
To evaluate your...
Oh, sorry,
Heidi.
Okay.
I'm a little confused about item number 4, where it says that we will contribute $40,000 annually, including swim fees. Does that actually mean that they're going to give us the swim fees and $40,000
annually? No, Joel just asked me if the $40,000... what would be included in that $40,000? He asked, would that include swim fees? And I said, yes. So in other words, he just wanted to make sure that it wouldn't be, they had to fundraise for the $40,000. So it would be $40,000, including the money they collect for swimming.
So the city is not going to be able to collect any fees for the swim?
They're going to collect them. The pool is.
They're going to collect them and give it to us.
So I said, I don't care how they come up with their $40,000. They will continue to collect their swim fees and their party fees and their entertainment fees, and however they come about their total $40,000, they will.
I have a real problem with that. I think if we're going to be responsible for management and employees and stuff like that, that we ought to be collecting the swim fees.
Well, I don't have an employee that can go over there and sit all day and collect the swim fees. So.
Oh, well, I don't know how many employees we're going to have, and I don't know whose responsibilities are going to belong
to
who.
That's up to Poole and the director when the time comes.
I see this as a big loss for the city.
Okay.
And it, you know, I mean, I would like to know how much it's going to cost us if we're not going to collect the fees.
It's always.
Oh, yeah, well, we have all kinds of...
I mean, seriously.
They're going to collect the fees, and they're going to still... They still pay the city, whether we collect it or they collect it. Just like they do today.
Are they going to have someone there to collect fees?
Yes.
The
pool is not going to be free.
That's what their job is. That's what their agreement with the city.
They're still going to operate the pool. The pool, you still have to pay to use the pool.
They're going to operate the pool, but we're going to manage it.
No.
We're going to manage the maintenance of it.
There'll be a director that will oversee.
They're going to hire the lifeguard?
No.
Hire the lifeguard.
Which is a huge problem right now because the lifeguards are not happy. They had to go and pay their own $350 to get certified. They had to pay that themselves and then come here and be the lifeguard for minimum wage.
And then ask the question,
I'm not going to go there tonight. So.
Okay.
All right, well, I have a question.
That can be another question. Go ahead, Ian.
So I don't like the idea that we would enter an MOU to hold a community organization's feet to the fire. That is not a community building activity. If I were the pool board, I wouldn't get anywhere near this. It has no use to them. I don't know why they are going to be collecting the money if we're staffing everything. And so I don't know why they need to be involved as anything more than a fundraiser at all. Like, we don't have someone else collect ticket money at the theater. So I don't know why we would have a 501 organization collect ticket money at the pool. And then my biggest question on this, and I know we've said the 50% number is a draft and whatever, but there's going to be a number, let's say, on that line item. If there's maintenance that needs to be done and pool doesn't come up with the money, are we just not going to do it? Because that's what this MOU says.
Well, number 6 has been scratched.
Okay.
And it will just say any capital improvement project would have to be presented to the council for approval.
Well, I don't even know why we need that. We already approved the capital budget. I don't see why this needs to exist at all. I think that if we think about the way the theater has been run for a long time, and there are some community organizations that donate a lot, you could say Sunday Afternoon Live or a few others, they're not running anything. They're just giving money to the activity that they want to give it to. No strings attached, no holding anybody to the fire. If they're not able to get in money, they don't. But if they do, they give it to us. And I don't know why it needs to be more complicated than that.
And you mentioned about the swim fees. You have there'll be a director, and the director is the one that would be responsible. They had a whole plethora of volunteers back in the day when it was, and the volunteers staffed the front counter and took in the swim fees. That's going to be the director's responsibility. He's going to be a city employee. He would be handling and overseeing that process.
And right now, the lifeguards take those fees, so it's our people that will be taking those fees. So I don't know why we need to get the money from pool if it I do not think this is necessary in any way, and I don't think it benefits anybody.
Okay, duly noted. And right now, there half the time there isn't anybody there to even collect a fee because
now it's operating under a different model, and we're not doing that model anymore.
Well, I was just making a comment. That was just some of the complaints that were brought to the pool, the new pool board. I'm just telling you what the pool board has been receiving about the complaints of not anybody being there. Okay. So, I mean, the pool is going to be closing in 2 weeks. It's not like it's something that's going to be an urgent need. So I would just like to see something worked out before the pool opens next summer. So. So any other additional comments or questions?
I think the only way this is going to work is for the city to take the responsibility entirely, including fees and everything else, and ask the pool board if they would like to donate money to have it work, because we can't put their feet to the fire and insist that they give us $40,000 a year or whatever. We don't have any control over 501c3. why not just let them tell them that we're going to take care of it and you can do whatever you can to help us get it done? That's the reality.
So I didn't, and when I said hold their feet to the fire, maybe that's a poor analogy, but I'm just looking for a way for all of us to work together, make them feel responsible for what they have, make them feel more in line and in need, the need to continue to have a viable tool. I've looked at other models, other cities, the pool. There are other pools that pool, the pool organizations, it's certainly not called pool, but there is other organizations that fund part of the pool's cost for these cities. And I'm telling you right now, these cities are little cities, much smaller than ours, and they're struggling, barely able to keep the pool they have open. And they're smaller than us. And the other ones that are about our same size or a little bit larger, their pools are covered with grass. They're closed. They're done. They can't fund them. So I'm just trying to figure out a way to keep our pool open. And if that means sitting up here and arguing with all of you, I will. But, you know, if you don't want it, if you don't think this is going to work or you don't want it or we can't make it work, that's fine. But I'll continue to argue with you until I can see that I'm not making any headway with any of you, and then we'll disclose it. Well, so I think asking pool to help is not unreasonable. But if all of you think it is unreasonable, we'll see if the city can take on the full cost of that pool. I guarantee you we cannot. But we will certainly give it a try for 1 year. And then I assure you in 2025, the pool will close because we will no longer have the ability to fund it. So there, I've said it. And there it goes. We can continue to hash this out until 8 if you'd like. But we have other things on the agenda. So.
So we were looking at Sea Twig, which has a pool.
Yeah.
It's a roughly Raymond size. On their budget, they budget $87,000 a year for their pool. If we bring in with pool fees, as we saw last year was brought in with pool fees, approximately 40. That leaves the city on the hook for 40 after the fees have been. So if the pool organization could fundraise part of that, then that could help us defray some of the cost to our taxpayers, which I know that none of us really want to take on more things that cost our taxpayers more money. We have other things to spend the city's money on that we like many things. So maybe, you know, asking them to help contribute by fundraising, whether it's grants, whether it's fundraising, maybe that can help defray the $40,000, if that's our estimate. We don't know exactly how much it would be. On top of what the fees of the pool already put in. That's my 2 cents. It doesn't seem like it's unreasonable. It seems like the pool board has a lot of energy right now. They are really on board with helping. Whether that will be true in 10 years, 5 years, you know, two, non-profit boards. Nonprofit boards do turn over. We all know this, which is why I think it's smart for the city to take it over. If we, as a community and as a city, it's important to have a pool for children to learn how to swim and for exercise for adults, for the whole community's use, which I think a lot of our community has stepped up and said, this is what we want. We want a pool to function. We want to have a pool. How can we fix this? How can we? And we saw the pool board meeting. It was full. We have a lot of people who want to see this work. So I think it's not unreasonable. That's my
thank you.
I want to make an agreement with them that makes it last. That's all I really want to keep. We make a good, strong agreement that lasts. The city knows what it's doing, that they know what they're doing, that they're invited to do the thing that they're doing. It's important that they fundraise. That's what their soul is. And I know there's a way that we can work out that. And I just think we can do it at our best.
Ian, did you have something? I thought I heard something over Zoom.
Yeah, you know, this idea of the pool's going to close by 2025 and we have no way to raise money. You brought to us a comprehensive plan and asked us to pass it, and we did. And in that comprehensive plan, it says that we will pursue a North Pacific County recreation taxing district, and that is a perfect match for getting a pool funded. So you have the tool you need, and you really, really, really wanted us to pass it, and we did. So you can go ahead and do that, and we will support you.
And I absolutely, it has been discussed. It's not an easy project, but it has been discussed. There is a couple of other cities that are small cities that are doing the exact same thing. It's not something that's going to happen right away, though. It's probably at least 2 years out, but it's something we've discussed.
But it's something you got to start.
I get that. I've got other things that I'm working on right now, but there are other people at the city, and we are working. We are discussing where you would even start. So if any of the counselors want to step up and help, we'll definitely take that on. We'd definitely help. Appreciate the help.
Well, you said it was 2 years out. So.
Well, I said it potentially. Don, don't everybody takes my word as gospel.
It's like it's like the time now, and we need to make sure that the pool is still running in that length of time for that recreational group to come in.
This isn't the first time it's been discussed. I mean, it's been discussed for years and years because
voted on in the past.
So
we need to come up with a plan, and I think that's what we're trying. What the mayor is trying to do is to keep the pool running.
Let's until
leave that time,
we'll begin
to
pray
some of that.
And going to a garbage, get all the information
back. I already know most of it's already online with the two cities that are there. One is at the beginning, and one is further into the process. Both of them, Tia has been talking to. Both of them have said that this, because we have three schools in a 6 mile radius. And we have the tribe close by, would probably be one of the easier recreational districts.
The tribe will get this money.
Everybody says that. It doesn't. It's not that easy.
They paid me to send a school bus down there to pick up four kids.
Yeah, everybody says that. Oh, they'll give you money. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can get easy. A couple of their kids involved here, they will.
Yeah. Okay. All right, any additional discussion on the pool? Okay, moving on. Department head reports. Fire Chief Bill Didion.
Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. So I'll make this quick. Right now, there's a total burn ban in the county as we continue to see very dry weather and significant fires throughout the state. So on Wednesday, our one and only Captain Nick Patrick departs to Nebraska for his journey to become a paramedic. And we are very excited about that. He finished his last shift before he departs. I want to stress again to the council and to the community as a whole how important this is for our system. I think this, the fact that we struggle so hard to attract paramedics, you know, as it's industry-wide, but we've seen it. We've run an ad for since the last 5 months, and we finally had to push a test back they were hoping to have this month due to lack of applicants. So, and our system is surviving thanks to some very dedicated people over there who were awesome. But this, as a whole, this program, I feel is going to continue that and improve our service. So we're thinking good things for Nick, and you know, it's a big step for him as a member of our team, but we're looking for great things. I got a date of September 13th for the arrival of our second ambulance. So that's very exciting. So there is good news on the horizon, and that's where I'm at. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you guys might have.
Did I see the new fire truck?
I wish. Only in my dreams. Yeah, January. So about the time Captain Patrick gets back, it's hopefully going to be arriving.
Oh,
so
it was a great looking fire.
I'm excited about it.
That's somebody else.
Yeah.
How long did you say he's going
to
be there?
He'll be in Nebraska till roughly the end of the year.
Wow.
So it's.
Is it like a 12-week program?
It is. That'll also work into some hospital clinical time. And also he has to do an internship, which he has to, you know, go out with a national agency and fulfill some requirements. But compared to other schools, we chose Nebraska because of the quick turnaround. So we're hoping for good things there.
Any additional questions or comments for Fire Chief Didion? Police Chief Matlock is not in tonight. He had a prior commitment he couldn't get out of. Public Works Director Eric Leibert.
Just a couple things. Our chlorination project delayed a bit. They sent the wrong tank inside the door. So it's going to set us back up a month or two. So we were hoping to get that done. Bill and I have been working to get the Willow Cloud Center all occupancy and getting that taken care of. So they're getting really close. So that should be going pretty soon. And paving, we don't have a date yet, but that should start pretty soon as well. So we're excited about that. We're going to do Fowler and Gerber, Harvard. Like he's just falling all the way to the highway again, and then Fowler from the highway to city limit. So excited about that.
Okay. So, any additional questions or comments for Eric? Okay. For Treasurer Kayla McIntosh.
I'm happy to be back. I'm currently working part time, but Monday through Wednesday, to finish out my leave so that I didn't leave everybody by shorthanded. The staff, my office staff, is working really hard to help take on all these additional projects with the pool and the parks and things like that, doing a lot of research and on top of their daily duty. So I appreciate that. I have started on the budgets, got my budget calls out to all the department heads, and I'm hoping to get working on those soon. I feel like a little bit better about it this year. I don't want to say I know what I'm doing, but I have an idea, I think, this year compared to what I did last year. So I'm hoping to be a smooth budget season. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Okay. Mayor's report. I finally was able to get in touch with somebody at the city of Aberdeen, and this is in regards to the people that were here from Timberland Village last meeting. And the information that the citizens or the people that live at Timberland Village is a little bit different than as I suspected it would be, but I do have the ordinance. They worked very closely. The city of Aberdeen worked very closely with the owner of the RV park or the trailer park, and their city attorney to come up with this ordinance. And it is specific to trailer parks, only to trailer parks. And what it says is that they have to provide a minimum of 120 days written notice if they're going to increase the rent more than 3%. It is not limiting them how much they can increase it, only that they provide them written notice within of 120 days if they're going to increase it more than 3%. And it also requires that they give them, let's see, I think that was the rental increase notice. They took on some other, you know, some late fee issues and some accommodation requests and stuff that, but it pretty much everything in here is very, it says very specific. This is not anything to do with the city of Aberdeen. This is specific to rental or landlord-tenant issues. It's just basically a documentation in this ordinance. So I guess my question to the council is this something that you would like to see us pursue for the city of Raymond for that RV or that trailer park?
It would just be specific to.
Well, it would be specific to trailer parks, just not that only not only that trailer park, but any other trailer parks within the city of Raymond. I don't know if there is any other ones.
Is there any avenues that they, like 3%, is that if it's raised more than 3% or something? And I know
they right. They had to provide the tenants with a written notice 120 days in advance if the rent was going to be increased more than 3%.
But we're not a rent controlled state, so we can charge anybody can charge anything. It's not a rent controlled state.
You know, and I was almost positive that there, because they were saying, they can only raise it 3 to 5%, and it's all it really is asking them to provide more notice. So
they don't have it.
I mean, we can do it, but I would meet with the owner, which they seem to think it's the same owner that is in Aberdeen. I haven't confirmed that yet. And I would meet with him and make sure that he was, you know, he must have been agreeable with the Aberdeen if it's the same people. But, you know, I don't have a problem doing it if that's something the council wants to see. You know, again, it really is doing is asking that they provide more notice to their tenants. It's not really controlling or stopping anything.
But that's the very least. I mean, it's the only thing that we can do, but I think we're so that the city isn't forgetting them. So, if nothing else, at least we can give them the 120 days notice.
If you do that, though, are we going to be going for apartments and housing?
No, she said it was just trailer.
Well, this one is, but then what that people want. You know, Timberland's not happy with there. I'm just curious. And like, I think there's like state laws that kind of govern all this stuff already.
I think it's because of the specific to the trailer park. Trailer parks are a little bit different. So maybe the words would be helpful, but I don't know if it's why it's used to the cities. I just don't know that we'd be able to, it's not going to address the concern that we have. It's not going to do anything.
And I don't know that we have any, there's no recourse. I mean, if they don't do it, I don't believe there's any recourse. So,
are there any state laws as to notice that has to be given before rent increases and how much rent can increase without notice? Or
it's a landlord tenant issue, and those are all their laws. You'd have to look them up and see what they are.
But Washington is not a rent-controlled state, so they can raise the rent however much they want.
Unless you live in Seattle.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are rent-controlled, but not
yes. Yes, rent-controlled. Yes, to keep that. It's based on the cultural population, culture.
It's still rent-controlled.
So really, if this was put in place, the landlord would still raise the rent as much as the landlord wanted, but they would have to give, notice before right. doing that.
Yep.
So it would increase the notice.
Well, just a general business practice, if the landlord is going to raise the rent, I assume the minimum he'd give is 30 days, right? And I mean, so that you're talking about 60 more days of notification.
About 30 days.